Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to Season 5. Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by Shadowhunter, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA Sports, and HHA USA. Black Eagle Arrows. Additional support provided by Deer Camp Coffee and Yeti Coolers.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Myself, Dave Thomas, tonight along with Jamie Noteboom, Kevin Conlon, Tim Azra. Actually, we got a full crew tonight, which is not always normal. And in fact, Kevin will be traveling soon, so I don't know. We're not sure he'll be working down there or not. I'm assuming he'll be online, but
when I'm not bow fishing.
Yeah,
there you go.
Bow fishing and see how that goes down in Florida, trying to get away from the winter that's coming tomorrow. So I think he's gonna get hit by it before he can leave in time.
Yeah. Well, I got my second COVID vaccination today, so
I may not
be feeling perfect tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds like you're gonna need some time. Anyhow, we're joined with the guys from Reaper Archery. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. Good. What's up?
All right. Yeah. So I talked to you guys online. It's how we met through Carbon TV and their channel, and real excited when you guys reached out to have a chat. And you know, having all these different shows online, it's like one of these important parts in my mind to like sit down and talk to you guys, like, you know, what's the show about and how did you start it? And I think these are the types of things that we need to do so people can understand what's going on and what's on Carbon TV, because there's so many great shows on there, and you guys definitely have something that's really well done. So I guess let me just kick it to you guys, you know, like how did you guys start it and how did you get this far, I guess?
So basically the way that it started is when I was in college, I just played around with video editing. I didn't really go to school for it, but me and my buddies just played around with it. And then one day, one of my cousins was like, dude, you hunt and do stuff outdoors constantly, so why don't you start filming some stuff? And I did. And then I started like looking in the industry, finding out, oh, people are getting sponsored from this kind of stuff. And it was like 2011. And I literally just made a DVD, designed the cover, everything, and just mailed it to anywhere I could mail it. And then from that, some people were like, oh, it was pretty good, but you need to do this. Or how come you don't have social media? Why aren't you on Facebook and Instagram and doing all these things? And I just started trying to grow it from there. And it's funny how me and Matt are related. So my wife's dad got a divorce and married a lady who has a daughter. After they were married, she met Matt. They started dating. And when me and Matt first met each other, he was like, I was assuming he was shy because he was just sitting there quiet or whatever, because he thought I was like a city boy. So he was like, we don't have nothing in common or whatever. We hung out a couple times just at the house, like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, nice to meet you. Everything's cool. And then I had to move to California for 3 years for my wife's job. And while I'm in California, this dude hits me up. He's like, hey, this is Matt. This Reaper Archery page is yours? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, why didn't you tell me that you hunted, man? We could have been hanging out this whole time. And I mean, I was like, because it wasn't that big, you know, I'm just trying to do things here and there little. And he was like, dude, let's team up and just like try to hit a home run. So ever since then, if we're together, we film each other. If we're alone, we sell film. Through the years, we've got some people to send us content. Some people, they come, they go. Some people stick around. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Yeah. Oh, we know.
So a lot of people think they're like, oh, we're going to make it. And after like a year, they're like, yeah, man, I shot a good one, but I left my camera behind. I'm sick of lugging it around. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? I can't.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, Photoshop a deer in there for you to kill.
No doubt, man. I love that story. Love the shirt, too, by the way. My kind of shirt.
I just got it.
Underlined.
I like more than three people, but
maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, the story of the hardship of owning a show is I try to make it very apparent, and it's definitely a question on my agenda for you guys tonight. And I ask it to everybody who has a show and comes on to the podcast, because you know, we personally have had two or three shows throughout our career at Bowhunter Planet, and everyone, because of Bowhunter Planet, it was always easy to get the stuff we needed as far as gear and everything. It was never a problem, like getting sponsors and all that. That was never the issue for us. It was always the quality of the footage, the guys actually taking their camera, the ones who, I went out and the camera wasn't working, even though they didn't bring it, you know.
Suspicious.
It was just such a hassle.
Yeah.
That we
very suspect.
Not, yeah. We just ended up not doing the shows anymore because we had all this other stuff we're doing anyway. But we do still film a little bit, but it's more for like our personal library. But we use it on the show, you know, we'll use it in our test lab show and stuff like that. But see, those kind of shows and like this show are contained, and you know, we all own part of Bowhunter Planet. Everybody on here owns part of it. So there's a stake for us, right? Whereas when you hire people, bring people in, there is no stake. And if they want a free bow or a free this, it's cool. They'll take the bow and start to do a lot of work for you, and it looks so amazing, right? And then all of a sudden they just kind of like flitter off, and then I don't know. So, I mean, I guess give us some experiences for you guys in this situation. Like, I mean, the ones who have left, did you find it very hard to deal with that, or how did that go for you?
I mean, the worst one for me, there was a guy who was teamed up with us. A couple guys came one year and they were all gung-ho about it or whatever. And he shot a really, really good buck on film, and he was rolling with us the whole time, the whole season. And, you know, he posted pictures of it and sent it out, you know, to people. And this other show that no longer even exists was like, dude, like, let us use your footage. Come to us. Like, let us poach you from Reaper Archery. And he was like, hey, man, I'm kind of wanting to do this. I think it's a good opportunity. And I was like, what? And so he gave him the footage. They used it. And then they never talked to him again. And I was like, they just used you for content, bro. And now Matt knows who I'm talking about. I don't know what you guys want me to say. I don't want to throw anyone in the bus. But
that's a good example, though.
No, that's a good example, man. And that's it. The content's the hardest part, right? I mean, there's all the work after it. So don't get me wrong. All of that stuff from beginning to end is hard, but getting the actual content, having a successful hunt is one thing, but having a successful hunt on film is a whole nother level. Whole nother level.
Yeah. Yes, and you got to have
100%.
You know, I mean, you guys, I feel like you guys have a great, great thing going, especially with just two of you. I think it actually makes it a lot easier. You just have to, you know, even if you don't get the footage that you think you need, you have to find ways to make creative footage, you know, as well, that can, you know, take place of that, you know, in whether that's like, you know, how to's and, you know, just even showing the hunt, but not getting it through. And, you know, we talked right before the podcast about your SD card breaking in the field. And that's, I mean, I've had that happen to me two or three times, and like with GoPros, especially, and for some reason with the corruption, and it's a disaster. And then you go back and you're like, I can't believe it. Or you delete something on accident, you know? Oh God.
How many blooper reels do you guys have?
That's
we have a bunch. Yeah. We have a bunch. Now here's the problem. Okay. I don't know. Well, I'm not built for 2021, man. I'm built for like 1994. Like, so my blooper reels, our blooper stuff, I would be afraid to air some of it because, well, we canceled or Me Too'd or something or whatever they call it today. I have no idea, but. You know, there might be some cuss words and some bleep buttons. Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm telling you, I'm struggling, Matt. People tell me I say cuss words. I don't know why they just come out sometimes.
So. Not me.
You do you, boo.
I'm just yeah. So we have some good blooper stuff, but I don't know. That's the problem. If you want to be out on social media and stuff, you got to be careful sometimes.
Those are the best ones, though, man. One of the most memorable ones was Jamie trying to get an arrow out of this.
I had no idea I was being filmed.
The F-bombs flowing out down the river on that.
It was probably like, 15 degrees, and we were trying to shoot a video outside, and every arrow kept getting stuck in the target, and I was just losing my mind.
Sword in a stone.
Yeah. Like, this is
the effing force sword in a stone.
I love it, man. Hey, so tell us a little bit about growing up. Like, how did you guys originally get into hunting?
For me, I grew up basically bird hunting. My dad, he was just a bird hunter. We grew up duck hunting. I had my great grandparents had a farm. I actually grew up in Missouri. I live in Kansas now, but we had a farm over there. So I'd go, you know, on the weekend during duck season, and there was a few quail back then, but not really. And then as I got probably 10, 11 years old, me and my buddy, one of my longtime good friends, we just picked up the bows and we started traipsing around the woods, and that's how it is. And I had to learn all of my bow hunting skills on my own. So that's how I got into it, but I absolutely fell in love with it. Just, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into duck hunting and all that too. And I don't know if any of you guys are that, but getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning to go put out a 200, 300 goose decoy spread is not my cup of tea anymore. I get way more enjoyment out of, you know, chasing a big whitetail. So
yeah, we got a couple guys on the team that love the duck hunt, but it overlaps with our deer season, so we just make fun of them.
Yeah, absolutely. All my friends growing up,
yeah,
they were deer hunters, so my dad and I, we kind of introduced them to the bird side of thing, and now all of those guys are like Ducks Unlimited members, going to all these banquets and everything. It's like a total flip-flop. So, but that's how I did, got into it, and I really enjoy it, and it's definitely just my passion. I look forward to it. I mean, I was thinking about it today, so.
Do you remember your first bow?
My first bow?
Kind of looked like this with a string on it.
You know, the little stick and string bow. I've had a bow ever since I could probably walk. My grandma always made sure I got into the outdoor gadgets and stuff at a young age, as well as guns as well. But yeah, my first bow was probably just a stick and string made in the garage. And then my first actual bow, it was a PSE Nova. Nice. So
no, that was a big one back then, the Nova. I remember that one.
Yep. I was, I think 12 years old, 13 years old, something like that right there. So, but that's it for me. MJ?
Yeah, tell us your life story, man.
Well, I was adopted by my grandparents, and my grandma was not much into the outdoors, but my grandfather was big time into fishing and, like, dove hunting. Not really. Maybe when he was a teenager, he hunted deer, but no stories about it or nothing. And I have a whole bunch of uncles because they had 6 kids. And then my dad's side of the family had a bunch of kids. But my dad passed away. They adopted me when I was a little kid. And all my uncles were into the outdoors. And I have one uncle. His name is Kevin. And one day he was like, when I was real little, he would just drag me with him to the, you know, the stand. And he'd be eating Nutter Butters and candy and looking at deer. And, you know, he would shoot one maybe with his gun. As soon as I got old enough, he was just like, you're young enough. When he said when he was a kid, he loved to bow hunt. So he was like, let's go get you a bow. But we just like went to some like a pawn shop and got whatever was the cheapest bow we could find. Well, at the time, I think it was called a Martin Jaguar, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something like that.
Jaguar.
But it was.
Yeah, Jaguar. I think they had both actually.
Yeah. It was a long time ago, dude. But, but before that, as a little kid, there was like this little red fiberglass. It was a bear It was just a string, and you know, you could probably shoot each other with it and it wouldn't even hurt. Yeah. But we're just out shooting it. We'd shoot up in the air.
Yes, it probably would not.
Right. Right, right, right.
We're gonna try that when Kevin goes out of town in the studio.
So since nobody in my family did any type of hunting like that, my uncle would always say, he said I got ruined because I went to a guy, he was a nurse at a hospital near where I live now. And I said, hey man, I heard you have some land. Can I hunt there? He goes, go for it. I didn't know anything about hanging a stand. I mean, I was like, I don't know, 13, maybe 14, hung a stand, got up there. The first time I ever went and said it, this doe came walking right up, and I was like, I've been watching some VHSs and stuff. This is what they do. And I shot her, and I was like, oh man. And now back then, no cell phones, no pagers. I saw her, walked all the way to the road, waited. The deal was this. He'll drop me off in the morning. He comes back and checks on me at noon. So I had to wait there till noon. I was like, I got one. And he was like, yeah, right, whatever. And I did. And he was like, you're ruined now. You're going to think this happens all the time.
No doubt.
But I was like, nothing. I'm not bad. I mean, gun hunting is cool too. I'm just saying, dude, I was like, this is for me right here. I'm all about it. Now, I've set many times without shooting a deer now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about, right? Is you know, with needing to get content, have you ever had that kind of stress where it's just one of those years where there's nothing?
This year was one of kind of like that for me. We just had, I actually missed a couple of deer back in October. Like, it was just one of those crazy years. And sometimes, like you said, the stress just gets to you and you want to get that content, and the camera just adds that a little more pressure, and you've got, you know, just that anxiety, like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. So that's probably some of the not so fun parts of filming, but at the end of the day, we love to do it. And now we take the cameras with us every time. So it's kind of like if we were to stop, it'd be like we're missing something. We forgot that whatever your lucky hat or whatever you take with you, you know? So it's kind of become second nature to us.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people have done this. Matt probably too. I mean, I've had like a target buck come in, and I cannot get the camera whichever way he comes or his friend. And you could have shot him, but you wouldn't have had it on film. And I've been like, you know, I call Matt. I'm like, I just got down. I couldn't get it on camera, you know? And he's like, dude, you suck so bad. Like, what's wrong with you? No, and then you start running out of time. The season's coming to an end and you're like, dude, you start getting nervous. But yeah. I mean, we both agree with each other that you feel the pressure, but we tell each other, come on, man, let's not let the pressure like mess us up.
Yeah. You know, I get it, man. Well, actually I don't get it. I don't have that issue. Cause number one, I don't typically film my hunts. Number two, I don't typically see or shoot any bucks. So, you know,
Tim for years, we used to be like, yeah, we got to film all this stuff. And Tim be like, so we would buy Tim like a state-of-the-art camera. He had this like sick camera. He'd be like, oh, cool, pointless. Man, cool.
That's completely a waste of money. They call me the great white-tailed doe hunter.
Hey, man, hunting's hunting, bro.
No, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'll take it all day long. I'll take it all day long. I just don't get that trophy buck pressure.
Yeah, we don't. We had a couple
trophy bucks. Now, here's the thing. So I hunt down here in Texas, and Matt's in Kansas, so – this dude is like, yeah, I got one, man, but he's only 165. And I'm like, oh, what?
Oh, we were definitely going to go there eventually. Like, I can't imagine the laughs and the looks, you know, watching other people's programs, maybe even our own, where we hunt up here in Michigan, and we're so excited for the 120.
Yeah, oh, God. 120 here is like a 180 for you guys or 200.
Sign me up.
I know in South Texas, people kill monsters, but I'm kind of like central, like more to the near the Fort Worth area. I'm in your boat, man. I'm like, 120, man, that's a stud, boy. Get him.
It's got 8 points. It's mine.
Marion, Marion, I watched one of your episodes where you you didn't have your greatest shot, but you ended up tracking and finding the deer the next day that the coyotes had got to. Dude, those coyotes ate everything. There must have been about 50 of them on that thing.
Now here's the deal with that. Where I was hunting that place, I lost that place. This was my first year without that place. This was a test for me. We were like, dude, what's going to, you know, because I had no backup plan. Mm-hmm. And with that hunt, you know, that deer had been drug around. On that place, there's another hunt. If you go back far enough, or maybe it'll come up again later in life, but I'm the only one that filmed out there, but it happened to other people. You shoot a buck and you said, let's wait till the morning. The hogs would destroy it. Hogs would eat the whole thing.
Oh, that was hogs that ate that thing?
No, I in the episode, I say coyotes because normally when the hogs eat it up, all the grass is torn up and there's like their tracks all around because like a whole bunch of them would come. Matt's gone out there and hunted before. He know there'd be like a herd of 20, 30 pigs just run right by. And you're like, oh, well, when does it end?
It's crazy. Now, like, I'm not on out there at night without a gun and a light.
No way.
But it's crazy because it's not like they're like bloodthirsty hogs like from some horror movie. But if they're running to food or they're going to and they happen upon the deer, I don't know what they'll just eat it, destroy it. So
yeah, that's
I feel your pain. Yeah, they ate it. 4 years ago, mine wasn't even an overnight hunt. Shot a doe that wasn't sure, you know, it was a kill shot, but wasn't sure if it was going to go down in, you know, an hour or let it sit. So we went back to the cabin, eat dinner, and then went out and looked for it. And we tracked that thing. It was a good blood trail. We tracked that thing for a good 250 yards, found it on the edge of the property, and it was nothing but skeleton by then. Coyotes got it within an hour, ate it all up, and it was gone. So I feel your pain, man. That's the worst.
What's crazy to me is how many people. I can only assume that they haven't hunted enough because so many people give me crap. They're like, oh yeah, right. You didn't look hard enough. That's why it got, oh, there's no way it got eaten. I'm like, why, what do I got to lie about, bro? Like that's what happened. Yeah.
No, once they find it, they find it. It's over. I mean, they'll demolish that thing in about 20 minutes if you got a couple coyotes on that. So it's absolutely crazy.
That's not yeah.
And that place was super wild out there.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, in all honesty, I think wild hogs, and this might be from our experience with them, where, you know, I'm face to face with one at 15 yards, going, I don't have a bolt loaded in my crossbow right now, and I think I might lose my life right about now. But I think those hogs scare me more than like hunting up here in bear country.
Those hogs, Tim, you're talking about, are not the hogs that they're.
No, I know, but right, and what my experience, I was still scared of them.
No, I know,
like the Russian boars.
Yeah, we're talking about fast.
Yeah,
like what we worked at a hunted. We up in Michigan, we have pig farm like type things you hunt. It's not, and they bring in like Russian boars and all that.
Ranchers, like, yeah.
It's not like the Texas. When I was in Texas and hunted hog, it was nothing like that. The hogs were scary as crap. I don't even know. Like I was sitting in a, I don't know, is it, I don't know what kind of tree it was. A mystique tree or something. They're like not very tall. Yeah. So I was in those trees and then I'm sitting there and I hear, I mean, it's like early in the morning and I just hear rah, rah. I just hear like thundering, like running, like, you know, like hooves, like, And I see this black mass just go by and like stop and grunt and yell and screaming and do all this stuff. And I'm like, I mean, it's like fast, dude. Like they're like clipping. And the next thing I know, they come in. There's like 30 of them just rush into this corn pile that was put down in front of me trying to hunt an access deer. And then after like 20 minutes, the access deer, which I can't believe there's any corn left, the access deer actually came in and started charging the hogs with his antlers. It was unbelievable. Then I shot him.
Oh, really? Wow. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. So he came in and like, I was like, oh my gosh. And this is a good example on that filming, right? Cause it's too dark to film. It's like early morning. I have a camera. It's just not feasible. And the guy that I'm with, I was hunting at Lazy CK Ranch down there. And the guy I'm with is like, you know, he's not even with me. I'm just in this tree by myself. And this all is happening in front of me. And so finally I get a shot. I get this access deer. And then the hogs come back. They don't mess with that deer, but later that night, or I think it was the next morning, sorry. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put you back in a stand. There's a lot of hogs in there, you know? So I go back and he puts corn, same thing. Next morning, there's like 20, 30 hogs on this pile. And I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to get this arrow in here? Like there's like, they're all together. I mean, they're like touching. That's how close they are. And I'm like, if I shoot one, I might hit two. And I don't know. You know what I mean? You're like,
let it go, baby. Let it go.
You know what I mean? Cause this is like, I'm on a ranch. I don't know the rules, you know, like he didn't say anything about like hitting two. So whatever, long story short, I got a shot, killed one, only went like 15 yards and dumped. But anyway, when he comes over to get me the guide, I come down, the hog started charging back towards the scene. And he's like, get back in the stand. They were like, dude, I mean, I was like, my heart was pounding. Cause like, I mean, from Michigan, man, we don't see hogs like that. And they're, it, these things were going nuts. And he like pulled out his sidearm. And he's like, get out of here. It was insane. It was intense, man. Like Tim, you'd be crapping your pants. I'm not kidding. It was scary, scary.
Oh yeah. No doubt, dude. I'm not down with that.
It was,
especially cause I hunt in a ground blind mostly too. I don't have protection.
No, these things. Yeah. Dude, you're wrecked.
There's a couple of our episodes is when Matt comes down to hunt pigs in Texas with me, and like, you know, for the 2 weeks leading up to him coming, I'm out there like corning it up, putting out hog feed and everything.
All up. Don't let him. He loves hogs over whitetails. Those are his pride and joy.
You can just hunt them all year long, so it's something to do.
Yeah.
So
sounds fun.
Every trip that he's come down, at minimum three. I'm filming him. Yeah. We're in the tree. He shoots one. They kind of run around. Then he shoots another one. Then they kind of run around. And with the first time he ever came, I told him, I said, this is how it's going to be. They're going to not run away. And I ended up filming someone else. And he was by himself. And he texted. He said, I killed four already. And I was like, it's been like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. You guys need to do like a short film episode on you know, the killer hogs out there. Do like a nice horror movie, you know, Blair Witch Project hog film. That'd be great, man.
Tim can be the guinea pig. We'll throw him out there, let him chase him around.
I'm good.
The last one we did, we said, you know what? We had this green light for predator hunting, and we said, you know, let's go. I set the feeder to throw after dark and everything. And the footage isn't great because we had never tried it before.
Yeah.
So I turn on the green light. My camera was trying to adjust, and I turn a. But how many did you shoot that night? Four, three?
I think I shot three that night, but it was like what you said, Dave. Is this was like my second or third time going, and we were hunting at night. So I'm like, I feel like a poacher, you know? I'm like, what? We can hunt at night now, dude? This is crazy. So we had green lights, but it was the same thing, like. As soon as it got dark, man, the woods just came to life, and it was not like any other thing you're used to hearing, like not deer or nothing. It's just an eerie feeling. And then this huge pig, he was probably what, MJ, like 400 or 500 pounds. The wind was
huge.
But dude, started like growling, and we were in the same kind of tree, like a little tiny mesquite tree. And anyways, we ended up making the hunt successful. I actually missed the first time because I never shot a bow at night. It was totally weird.
I never would have thought of that. You're right.
He missed the first pig, and they all ran. And he was like, he was so mad. I can't believe this. I drove all the way down here and I ruined it. Now, I had this little thing that I bought from like an antique store that is like something they used to have a long time ago that you turn it on, it sounds like a feeder going off. And I was like, dude, let's try this thing. When he got back in he went down and got his arrow and climbed up. I pushed the button. Whoosh, they came out of the woods like it was nothing. Yeah.
They did. It was nuts. It was nuts. But that big one, like, I wanted to shoot that big one so bad. But the sounds he was making, it was terrifying. And after I shot him, I was like, MJ, you're getting down first. Like, you go right here. But it was nuts. It's definitely an experience. Like, if any of you guys or any of the viewers watching, I always loved going to Texas like this time of year, February or March, like before turkey season, kind of that lull time when you know your season wraps up and you kind of still have that itch, you want to do something, but there's nothing to really do. And hog hunting is a great way to, you know, curb that appetite for that. So
That actually sounds really fun. We gotta maybe do that this time of year, man, because you know, up here in Michigan, we're stuck with 5 o'clock sunsets and ice fishing. Yeah. That's about our winter time. So
yeah. And like MJ said, he lost that place this year, which sucks because it was like truly magical, but it was an awesome place. Like, I wish that we still had it and all you guys could come down because we would have a hell of a time, I'm telling you.
Love it.
That's cool. Now, in Texas, what I experienced, and I was going to ask you this, is everything, almost like everything I saw in the land was like fenced. Is that the case everywhere you go, or how does that work?
Like a high fence?
Yeah, like everything. Like where I went, it was like 7,000 acres of high fence, this outfitter. But everything around them, at least in that area I was all huge fences. And that's why I was just curious if that's like that everywhere, like everybody just owns everything or.
No, I mean, one problem that I know what you're talking about. There's places in Texas like that. The place where I took Matt and stuff. When you drive out, it was out in Eastland, Texas. So when you're driving there, you might go through a town and be like, there's a high fence. Then there's no high fence. Then the next guy's got a high fence. And I you know, some of them will have like a zebras or something. And then some just have big white tail. And a lot of the ones I've seen, they don't actually sell hunts there. They're just like, look, we raise these big deer. And then they like sell their sperm.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can say. I don't know what you're allowed to say on here.
I'm sorry. Can you explain that to me? I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Yes.
Like a whale?
Tim like needs a whale? Birds and the bees talk.
So they get gloves on and a bottle. No, I don't know how they do it.
Oh, the thing I did at the nurse with the nurse last week. Got it.
Right. But out there by where we hunted. Nah, I mean, I think there was maybe one place like 200 acres that were high fence, but then all the rest was just wide open. And another thing that sucked. Now here's a dilemma that I have, and like we're talking to you guys right now, I never act like I know everything. I'm like a part of me wanting to do this was to be like, oh, maybe I can get some pointers, Matt. That's maybe they can give us a suggestion for something we're doing wrong. But like Matt will, you know. When do you post your photos? What do you do? So there was people there that knew me and followed Reaper Archery, and they see me shooting some good bucks and we're always having fun. Well, they're related to the landowner and they're like, hey, Uncle Bill, we want to come hunt this place. Look at all their success. And he's like, you got to go. My family wants to hunt. Get off. And I'm like,
oops, that's sucks.
Yeah.
So if I didn't film anything or take any pictures, I'd still be hunting there.
Yeah,
but then I couldn't film or take, you know, when it's like a
it's probably all Matt's fault, let's be honest.
Yeah. It's my fault.
Yeah, they saw his bucks from Kansas and assumed that they were from there.
Well, strange thing happened to me. I was in Texas and I was gonna run this by you guys, see if you guys have ever experienced anything like this. But when I was sitting in that tree, and it was the same tree stand actually because what happened was I shot that access deer. And then that night I hunted that spot for hog, but I saw some at a distance. They didn't come in. But while I was sitting there, I heard this, what sounded like a drone coming. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. You know, maybe they're out here drone. I mean, I was there with Synergy Outdoors. Faradine. I was out there with Faradine Outdoors. They brought us out there for this media hunt. And so I just assumed like maybe they're filming from the main area, you know, maybe whatever. I don't know. I'm just thinking in my head, like, well, maybe they're just filming and whatever. So I'm sitting there and it's getting louder and louder. I'm like, wow, maybe I can see this thing, you know, like maybe this is like some really high end drone, you know, and I like look over my shoulder and I don't see a drone at all. In fact, what I see is the largest school bus size of killer bees I've ever seen in my life. Go.
I was going to ask you, was it bees?
Right, dude, it went right over my shoulder, like maybe 30 yards to my right over those short trees. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, literally it looked like a school bus. With like a fist going right through. And I was just thinking in my head, all I was thinking is, wow, that's really cool. Holy crap. If that was over my tree, I could be dead right now.
Yeah.
What time of year was that?
May. Right. I think. Okay. Is that right?
Yeah, guys? Sometimes. I think it was sometimes May. Now, I don't know if they're killer bees, but out there,
I assume.
When we're like planning food plots or something, sometimes you would just hear this hum everywhere, everywhere. And then you, it would just be so many bees. I just assumed they're honeybees, but either way, I don't want to get stung by 5,000 million honeybees either. So.
At first I was like, this is so cool. And I was like, I should be filming this, you know, but the camera's on the other side of me. And I'm just like, all right. Cause I didn't expect it to be a, you know, bees. And then, I just wish to God I had that footage, because I went online and I had a hard time finding anything close to what I saw. And it was like literally just incredible. And then what one of the guides there, told me, like, some of the guides didn't know what I was talking about. They're like, I've never seen that, you know? And another guy's like, well, actually I was on a boat and I was out on a lake in Texas here, and a hive like that came at me. He said he jumped out of the boat and flipped the boat on top of himself so he could breathe through the boat, and the bees went right over the boat. I was like,
oh, yeah. So,
so I'm not coming to Texas, guys. Hope you have fun. Yeah.
You keep your rattlesnakes
and bees. Now what?
Yeah. Keep your rattlesnakes.
What you're describing, what I've been told is this is what's happening. They all had a hive somewhere, and either it got smashed, something happened, and the queen is going to look for somewhere new to live, and the hive is swarmed around her to protect her, and they go wherever she goes.
That makes sense.
And that's why sometimes she's like, I need a break, and she'll like land on the side of Walmart, and people will be like, oh my God, there's a million bees, and they'll call an exterminator to come. They'll come to kill them all, but they're just in the middle of moving somewhere else.
Yeah. I saw rats.
They're not on a.
Well, they kill you.
They're not on a bloodthirsty rampage.
I think it was a huge rattlesnake. That I didn't see the rattlesnake, but someone filmed it that was there with me. And then I saw a, I don't know if it was a rat snake, but it was like a huge black snake, like huge. It was nasty. I was like, dang. And then the other thing about Texas that I learned, that I actually came prepared, which is strange because I'm not the most prepared person, but is it triggers?
Chiggers.
So everybody in that little expedition got those things bad, except for me, because I sprayed all my clothes and boots with Sawyer before I went out, like before I even got to Texas. I had pre-put out everything, sprayed it up and down, and like I didn't get a single one, and every single person, including the guys, got those things, dude, and they were dying. Like scratch.
Yeah, no, dude, those things are terrible, dude.
Yoke.
Like if I go check cameras or something and I just rush and do it, and like the next morning I'm like, what's this on my ankle? And I see it, I'm like, oh no, my life is over.
One time,
because they don't just stay on your feet, they spread to all your parts and you're in big trouble.
Yeah, we must have something similar in Michigan, but not like that intense, but like something similar. Because one time I was hunting and I was in this tree stand, and I'll never forget it because it was so intense on my hand. I was sitting there and I was waiting. It was like a summer. We were hog hunting, and it was like, cause you can go all year round, cause it's like, these are all like high fence type things. And I'm sitting there waiting for hogs to come in, and my hand just starts burning big time, like an itching and burning. It was the weirdest thing you could say.
It's a fire ant.
It could have been, I could have been bit by a fire. I don't know what the hell got on me, but I'll never forget it. Cause it was like kind of painful. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like I just got here. Am I gonna be able to draw this bow or what?
I kicked a fire ant hive, or like a bunch of them. There's a big mound in Georgia. I kicked it. I had only one under my watch, and it stung like a bee, man. I'm watching all these kids doing PT and like all over in those freaking ants. I was like, you guys are nuts.
Oh God.
This is up there. You got some special ants or something, or what?
Fire ants. But
it was in Georgia. It was fire ants.
Oh, that was in Georgia?
Yeah.
The answer is no, by the way.
We don't have too many creeps. We got ticks.
I mean,
but most things can't live through the winter.
Michigan's a pretty peaceful place, to be honest.
It's the cold. It kills everything. Just
mosquitoes, ticks, that's about it.
So tell us, guys, what's in the agenda for this year? I mean, how many, I guess let's talk about this. How many episodes per year generally are you doing? And then what's your goals for this year, I guess, coming up?
Grow. Just make the right moves is the goals, which feel free to give us any ideas. But what we've done in the past has just been like, Matt, try to kill your buck. I try to kill my buck. I apply for tags, you know, try to get one or two deer apiece. This last couple of years, you know, we've had guys that are hunting, submitting us footage and stuff. We had a husband and wife team. They're cool people. But they're kind of wanting to do their own thing, like like husband and wife adventure series. And I told, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think they can run with that and have some success. So I still have a bunch of their stuff edited. Maybe they're just going to use it for themselves. Maybe I'll air it too, but I'm not sure what they're going to name it yet. So I don't want to just make something up, but so it, the episodes, it just depends. Like you were saying, we were talking earlier about the pressure of having to get successful, you know, on stuff like Carbon TV and YouTube or whatever you put it on. You know, there's not really, the network's not hounding on you like, you better have 13 episodes or we're going to fine you for every one you're short. And then you're, you know, doing whatever to try to make up the footage. So one thing that me and Matt agreed on is we don't want to air episodes where we aren't not, I'm not saying we're not successful as we screwed it up, but we're not going to air a hunt that's like, tune in next week to see the rest just to fill in.
Yeah.
Oh, we had 13 episodes, but half of them were, oh, wait till next week when the deer comes back, you know? So we just want to make whatever we put out, whether it's, we both have three or four hunts apiece. Maybe some of the guys contribute and have some extra hunts to put in there, just that it's quality. Not necessarily, we got 100 hunts last year. We got five, but they're all quality.
No, yeah, you see that way too much. And even a lot of the big shows, you know, it's all about, well, we got to get going. We got to get going. Like, nobody really wants to watch episodes of you saying that nonstop. It's like, you're you should be having fun and your life looks like it absolutely sucks right now. Yeah. And then you start, then you start reaching and kind of, you know, teetering and different things you probably shouldn't be doing, and then you see what happens to some of these people. It's not worth it.
Yeah, all of a sudden you legally shoot $2 and now you're not hunting anymore. Right.
Yeah, I'd say
never.
The biggest thing is don't lose yourself in it, because you know, this industry, hunting shows are tough to have, number one. Number two, I agree with Tim's or Jamie's comment, because we've seen in this industry, from our perspective of actually working with some of these people on shows that are high end shows, and you know, I don't want to bash anybody by any means, but I'm just saying, like, it is a business. They treat it like a business, and that takes away all the fun. It takes away the enjoyment. Some of the best times that we've had in the last few years, the four of us here on this podcast, is not taking a camera at all in the field, like just. Forget it and just go out and enjoy ourselves. Yeah. And it's been incredible, but do I like wish I had better footage of my buck I shot this year? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I wish I did have a good camera for
Which
sure.
One?
Brett, I don't have the better camera. I had a GoPro, which was great and it helped capture the moment, but it's not like you could see like the zoom in or, you know, but again, like you guys said earlier, would you have even had the chance to shoot it if you're trying to get on film? Would you have messed it up? Would you have clicked the camera on accident? Would you have hit something, you know? So it adds a lot of aspects that are hard, but definitely, you know, I would never give up on it, number one, because if you really enjoy doing it, it's all that matters. Yeah. But it's good that you guys can time it the way you want. You don't have to be pressured to do anything too fast, and you can make it the way you want.
Yeah. But I think the hardest thing
the
is
thing
just
with us.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't. Up you. But the thing with us was is our distance. Like, we're 6.5 hours apart from each other, so that limits us. We both have families, both have, you know, normal jobs, so we've got to try to juggle everything, and that makes it super tough. Whereas if we lived, you know, in the same town, we could, you know, once a weekend make a video or something and, you know, post more videos regularly. So it limits us to, you know, putting out 4 to 5 quality videos a year doing it this way. And it kind of, you know, it might make us fall behind a little bit, but that's our biggest struggle, is just the distance between us and, you know, just regular life getting in the way of things. So if we lived close to each other, it would be way different for sure.
I mean, what he's saying, I think, is way different. I think we would have a lot more content that's like super quality. Like,
yeah.
Instead of being like, right now, I'm like, hey, Matt, film like a bow review, film like a bow build, film this stuff, because he's got it, all of his stuff at his house. And I'm like, and then someone in the family, we used to mail stuff, but we stopped doing that because the mail place kept losing stuff. So so now we just wait. So he might film it this weekend, and then somebody brings it to me on, oh, we went up to visit Matt, or 3-4 weeks from now. Then I put it together. That takes me a week. And then by then it's like, who cares now? It's been 5, 10, whatever weeks since it happened. So we all the time, I'll be like, dude, I got an idea. Let's do this and this. He's like, yeah, if I live next door.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's true. So
that is the hard part. We started using, we did do that a lot, mobile, but our, you know, it just it depends how long your videos are and the quality, but we use OneDrive, G Drive to like transfer those files, and it works great. But it's slow, you know, cause you have to upload it and download, and you got to have the high Wi-Fi to do, or not Wi-Fi, the high Ethernet to do it. But that could help you guys, cause it is something that, you know, we have taken advantage of for people in Indiana and Illinois that work with us here and there. And that helps a lot. So, but you know, again, if it's a 4K video, which most likely it is, you just have to figure out the compression and how big they are, right? And you might have to cut it in sections, is what I'm saying, I guess. So instead of every 1 minute, it might be a separate video clip, just FYI, but it works really good. That's my quick tip of the day.
one you asked what our goals were. One thing that we talked about, we're going to try to do more now, is if you look back at all of our stuff, it's a lot of hunts and then a little bit of DIY stuff. But we were like, dude, let's start doing, we have the ability to do better gear reviews than we're doing, you know, like we're like, dude, you just sit down and do a quick like a 60-second gear review, like not necessarily say this is why you should buy it, but this is why we like to use this particular thing just for content and stuff. And it seems like it gets a lot more clicks or whatever.
Bow builds,
if we put like a Hooters girl in the beginning, it's like clickbait, they just click right away. Right. Bing, bing. It's a,
are we back to that sperm thing again? Is that what we're doing now?
yes we are. They watched for 3 seconds and then they turned it off as soon as the guys came on the video.
My gosh, that's so funny. All right, guys, well, this has been a fun talk, honestly. I think we've all learned something today. So Reaper Archery, you guys check out online. I'll put the links below. And you guys, thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun. And hey, keep in touch. Definitely could talk some tips and you know, give me
for sure.
Shoot me a message and we'll chat maybe later this week or next week and talk about some ideas and stuff for you guys for social and all that. But you know, keep at it, you know, keep your head up, keep moving and enjoy it. And you know, don't rush these things and don't turn complacent.
Because once you think you got social figured out,
Facebook smash.
Algorithms change.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.